Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And because we're on all these wonderful digital platforms right now, it makes it easy to share. And you're going to find information today financially about our money supply, the dollar, cryptocurrency, all the politics associated with this stuff. And you're going to say, wow, everyone needs to hear this and see what's going on. And I'll say this too, everyone needs to be in gold, silver, and crypto. I mean, seriously, if you put all your faith in the dollar, well, I'll just say four numbers. 1929. 1929. And my mom's family was very wealthy at one time. They were relatives of the Ford family. And unfortunately, they put all their eggs in real estate and the banks. And they lost everything. And my mom went from riches to rags and was raised in poverty through the Depression as a young girl. So this is family history I'm well associated with, and we're going to try to help you learn what's going on so you can navigate your way through and not suffer the same fate as my mom's family did. We have with us on our newsmaker line, Guy Gotzlick. He's the CEO of My Digital Money, and you've heard some of our ads, no doubt, on YouTube, where we've talked about the virtues of this, and this is something that we wholeheartedly endorse here at the Common Sense Show, and we're going to share with you why we do. Guy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave, for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. There's a lot going on, but I think a good starting point would be the federal government has kind of said, well, we want to kick digital's butt at one time, and now they've come full circle, and now they're kind of like joining in. And in fact, there's an executive order that speaks to this. Can we start with that? And what's your interpretation of this order?
Yeah, if you can't beat them, join them. That's what exactly the executive order seems to be about. So it's in my view, it's simply acknowledging the existence of cryptocurrency and saying let's regulate it, right? So it legitimizes cryptocurrency, which should have been done a long time ago in a more proactive way, in my opinion. This is more reactive and defensive, and essentially it's all about mitigating risks that come about from just decentralized technology. So, you know, the executive order states protecting consumers and investors, and, you know, ensuring that the dollar remains the reserve currency, and, you know, that we mitigate national security risks, like the ability to avoid sanctions by countries like Russia, and you know, so it's really kind of defensive. And there is one section that talks about innovating and being the leader technologically, but it highlights the word responsible innovation, right? So I don't know what they mean by that. They mean that, you know, responsible innovation of these technologies means that the government maintains control. They could mean that, right? So largely it's inconsequential in my view. It's just saying, okay, now it's part of the conversation. We're not going to ban it. We're going to figure out a way to work with it, but we've yet to see what kind of policies and regulations will come out of it. There's 180 days that Biden gives the different regulatory bodies to come up with some next steps and recommendations. And I think even then we won't have, you know, concrete regulatory proposals, but over the next year, I think it'll become more clear the path to regulation. But some regulation is a good thing. I mean, this, you know, this will make institutions much more willing to come in and to invest. It will, you know, open up the market to a lot more money. So it's not a bad thing, but it's just kind of late, in my opinion, and it's not enough, not proactive enough. I would have liked to see the executive order talk about how do we incentivize developers and miners to come here and innovate, you know, by giving them tax breaks. You know, how do we become a leader in this innovative technology? How do we harness, you know, the benefits? You know, go and research use cases that we can use to, you know, be a leader in the space, right? But it's a lot more defensive.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was long-winded, but that's what I think.
No, I agree with you entirely. And you're right, they're coming to this party late. And some people think they're coming to the party late because they realize that crypto will survive the dollar in a catastrophe and they want to try to control crypto. Can they do it? Do you agree with that assessment, first of all? And secondly, if you do agree with it, how would they control crypto? I don't think they can.
No, they cannot. Yeah, I mean, I think that they do want to control. They don't like what they can't control, and it's not possible to control Bitcoin or, you know, any of these decentralized cryptocurrencies. They can only kind of hold it back. If they wanted to, they can ban mining and, you know, make the environment here not friendly for businesses. But even then, you know, it's completely global system, so you can't block it, you can't stop it. And so the only way is,
I don't think they
yes, the
can
only
even
way
regulate
is to
it.
compete.
Yeah. I mean, you look
Yeah,
at
it.
here's what people look at, Guy, and I think this is such an important point. They look at it like the 1930s when Franklin Roosevelt regulated gold, and he said, you can't own it if you're a private citizen. And that's because he wanted to take us off the gold standard so he could print all the money he needed for his New Deal programs. It's a different world now because crypto actually steps outside the bounds of the United States. I don't see how they could possibly could control it. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. They are trying to come up with their own currency, which isn't block. It isn't really crypto, right? It's just a centralized digital currency. So CBDC, you've heard the term. And part of the executive order talks about, you know, researching the pros and cons of having a CBDC, right? And creating a whole system between countries. To exchange CBDCs and operate kind of globally. And so that's part of the executive order. But just to be clear, that would not be a decentralized or distributed ledger technology.
Interesting. And the other thing I thought too, someone said, well, Dave, they could control cryptocurrency because your point of origin's in the United States, so that would give them some legal justification in their mind. And I said, well, if you have a good VPN, they couldn't even determine where you're at when you do a deal. I mean, you'd have different IP address, you'd have different locations, and that's a quality of a good VPN. And I just think it's a regulatory nightmare for them.
Right, definitely, and you know, these are nodes running on people's computers at home, right? And you know, you just can't shut it. There's nowhere to go to shut it down. It's a distributed ledger, right? And
Yeah,
so
exactly.
there's multiple copies, and you can't just shut down the world internet, right? That's what you would have to do.
Well, you would, but then all the people that voted you into office would soon vote you out because it would kill their businesses. I mean, you can imagine
Yeah, exactly.
Amazon without the internet. You wonder how, you know, Bezos' descendants who took over the company would feel about that. That would be crazy. But I totally agree with you on this. And I just, like I said, I think this is the wave. If the dollar crashes, do you think that crypto will be the replacement, that in gold?
Yeah, I think it's one avenue to protect yourself. I mean, if you just keep fiat currency in a savings account, you know, with the crazy inflation rates that we have, you're losing a lot of money every year. So you want to have a diverse portfolio where you have some risky piles that will earn you enough to make up for the inflation rate, right? And so it's not enough just to get 5, 6% anymore. You know, you need to get much more. And so crypto, you know, over the long run has proven so far that you can get really good returns in the long haul. So it's a good idea to keep that in your portfolio along with other assets, risky assets, and also less risky assets like precious metals, where, you know, it's a hedge against inflation. And so I think it's a good idea to use crypto as a really powerful tool. To protect yourself against a devalued dollar.
in the long run.
Okay, I agree with that. But here's one thing, and I'm going to give you my interpretation, but I think there's another way to look at it that you'll share with us. Crypto is being held down, and some of it's by word of mouth, courtesy of the mainstream media. But who owns them? Well, the elite. And what are the elite doing? They're buying as much gold and crypto as possible. So why are they talking out of both sides of their mouth, in your opinion?
I think it is. There are, there's, like you said, the elite. There's different entities out there that it's in their interest to keep crypto away from the common person, right? They want to discourage, and that's why you have like this Department of Labor warning that came out against crypto and 401ks, warning people and kind of almost threatening employers, right, who want to provide that in a 401k. And so, again, that's another effort, I think, to keep it away, to keep it from, mainstream, at least right now.
What effect is that having by keeping it away from the public? What do they gain by that? Forced compliance into the dollar?
Yeah, that's part of it. And then the elite can also benefit from this technology. Right now, there's so many opportunities to make gains because it's still early on, right? And so as it becomes mainstream, the returns will still be good. There won't be as many gains as there are in the beginning of this. So, I think it's interesting how the crypto market is going down despite a lot of wins, right? You have, the European Parliament just voted against the proof of work ban, mining cryptocurrencies that use the proof of work algorithm, and Bitcoin is one of the main ones. And so they voted against banning it. And then XRP had a favorable ruling in its case, with the SEC case against XRP. There's been a lot of little wins around the world. Ukraine using crypto to get donations, but it's still going down because for every positive news, there seems to be negative news. Like, for example, the ability to donate to Ukraine in crypto is countered by Russia being able to circumvent sanctions, which is not true. They can't do that. But the media has been saying, Russia can use crypto to circumvent sanctions. That's not true at all. I mean, we're far away from that, right? There's not enough liquidity in the crypto market to make it an effective circumvention of that. So there's a lot of things that are kind of blown out of proportion, to your point, just to kind of control the price and perception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. And then you kind of captured the media side of it from a little different angle, but I agree wholeheartedly with what you said. But when crypto finally kind of feels its oats and the restrictions are lifted by natural forces, I would imagine there's going to be quite a few millionaires made in that process. There's going to be a sudden rush of wealth, isn't there?
Yeah, and there already are a lot of millionaires from it.
Let me ask you a technical question, because this is kind of off script, but a lot of people ask me this. I'm holding crypto. How do people, if they're not going to use crypto, let's say, to go out and buy a car or whatever, how do they liquidate the crypto? How do they turn it into a usable asset from which they can gain other things from?
Yeah, so the main way is to go through an exchange, right? So you can, transfer your crypto into an exchange. There's a lot of big exchanges out there. My digital money is is, you know, one of them. And yeah, that's where you can turn it into fiat currency if you want to, if you need to spend it. But there's a rising number of companies that are accepting crypto as well. So as time goes on, you can actually, you know, go and buy products directly with crypto. But for right now, I mean, it's the best way is to use one of the off ramps, right? To, you know, transfer it into a wallet with an exchange, and then they provide the liquidity. They can, you can then sell it there and cash out.
Interesting. Is it true that there are about 20,000 ATMs that take crypto in the United States?
Yes. Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that because the UK just banned their ATMs, which there weren't as many of over there, but yeah, there you can. That's another way to get cash. That's a good point. I actually haven't seen any, funny enough. I probably haven't looked hard enough. But yeah, a lot of people don't know that there are these ATMs.
I've read it in a number of places. I've never seen it either.
Yeah, and when it comes to Bitcoin, I prefer to keep it for right now rather than spend it, because I believe the price is going to go way, way higher over the long run. So for me, it's kind of a store of value. And so I'm not at the point of spending it for day-to-day purchases. So that's why I haven't looked for an ATM. But yeah, as it becomes widely adopted, and you know, the it becomes mainstream, I think you'll see a lot more spending.
Okay, well, I'm going to give people an incentive here to take a look at the question I'm going to ask as a follow-up. But what people don't realize, and I've researched this pretty thoroughly, with the banking deposits on hand today, 1.2% of the money is covered by FDIC insurance. In other words, 98.8% is uninsured money. And you're saying, well, I just got to get to the front of the line. Well, that's already been determined. At Brisbane, in the G20 conference in 2014, they established, based on a district court ruling here in America, that when you put your money in the bank, you're an unsecured creditor, they own your money, and they can determine the order of payout, and they set up for the credit swap derivatives victims to be the first ones, which means the average person will never see a dime when their bank fails. What separates a crypto, I don't know the right term, I'll call it a crypto clearinghouse, and you can correct me on that, but what separates a crypto clearinghouse from what I think is the corruption in the banking system that really is not insuring money like they're telling people they do?
Yeah, I think the main difference with crypto is it gives control back to people, right? You actually have your money, right? When you have Bitcoin, right, you actually have it. You know, when it comes to the fractional reserve system, it's an ancient system, right, where I think, you know, you put $1 million in the bank, right, and you see that balance, but you don't actually have it. The bank is using that, you know, to benefit, right? The bank is giving it out for loans or doing whatever else, and you're not benefiting from that, right? You're getting a very small percentage.
Right.
When you have crypto and you lend that and you use decentralized finance, right, there's, you know, coins out there that power this, like Aave, which is on our platform as well, where you can lend out your crypto and earn a lot higher percentage, right? And so, you know, instead of the bank benefiting from it, the benefit of being, you know, peer-to-peer is now you don't have a middleman that's, you know, and you have a lot more control of how you use your money. And if you're keeping it in your wallet, it's yours, right? You're not risking somebody, you know, like the bank failing and then you don't get your money back. So that's the main difference.
Okay, so crypto for the average person is inherently a lot safer. as far as a storage vehicle using, what do you call it when you house your crypto wealth with someone like My Digital Money? What's the term for that?
Custodian, like when you custody.
Yes.
So we have IRAs or cash. So with a crypto IRA, you need a certified licensed custodian to basically reap the tax benefits for retirement, right? And so I always tell people IRA is a great option because you have compound growth, which people don't realize, you know, how much that can benefit you. You see Peter Thiel of PayPal, you know, ended up with $5 billion in his Roth IRA because of compound growth, right? And so that you can only do with a company like My Digital Money, but you can also, like for cash, you can have a private wallet, but then you have to manage that, and a lot of people feel just much more safe for a qualified custodian to actually manage their crypto for them.
What do you do?
You don't want to be that guy that loses your password and then you lose millions of dollars.
Yeah, I've heard about these 56-letter passwords that people lose and then they lose their money.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy. But what do you do? I'm trying to think how to phrase this. With My Digital Money, do you guys actually serve to house the crypto that people get? Are you the custodial agent?
Right. Yeah. And we will be providing options for private wallets too, but we have a cold storage. So if you put in your IRA, let's say you put in, $50,000, you transfer it from an existing IRA or roll it over from an old 401k, that goes into a cold storage, which is in a nuclear bunker where nuclear weapons used to be stored underground.
That's
safe.
Yeah,
so good luck breaking in. You could try.
Yeah, I like that.
But you won't get in. So that's the only way to really get it is if you can manage to break in. It's not exposed to the internet all the time like it is with hot wallets. So yeah, the way that we have our security, I can't give away the secret sauce, but it's in a way that it's very, very, would be very, very rare, almost impossible for a hacker to steal more than a certain amount, and we're insured for more than that amount that can be stolen. So it's very, very safe the way we manage the security, and that's the positive side of going with a custodian, especially one that really focuses on security versus doing it on your own.
Were you aware of what I told you about the FDIC?
What did you say? Can you remind me?
Well, about the FDIC in terms of the fact that the vast majority of accounts in America are underinsured. They're not insured at all, just a small percentage.
Yeah. Right, yes.
But the average person thinks their money's insured. I mean, it's such a scam. Oh, don't worry, sir. Your money's insured by the FDIC until you look at the numbers. Wow, it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's going to take an event like everyone's trying to get their money out at the same time, and they can't, for people to realize. It is crazy. It's an antiquated system, and I think that's why I'm excited about blockchain technology. I think it can really help reshape our financial system for the better. That it will be it's more suitable for our digital environment, right? I think it's like a 500-year-old system that we're using, and it needs to be adapted.
Yeah, well, you'll have to forgive me. I'm like a kid in a candy store on this topic because I'm fascinated by it. But I do have a question that some people ask me, and I quite honestly don't know the answer. What if Russia, just hypothetically, were able to take down our banking system? Let's say they cut the internet cables in the Atlantic, and let's say they were able to separate us from the internet. What would happen? I know what would happen with your bank. Your ATMs don't work, and you couldn't get gas and all that. But what would happen with your crypto?
Well, it's a tough one. What would happen with your crypto? I assume that at some point the internet will come back on. So when it does, or even if you have your own internet, you still can access it, right? It's it's going to be there. It's in a distributed ledger, and the thing is, like, at some point you can connect to other nodes in the world, I assume. I mean, that's a very, very rare scenario, but
it is.
Yeah, you know, you could.
Guy, yeah, I get asked this all the time.
Oh, wow.
I do. Yeah, my listeners send me questions like this all the time.
Yeah, but at some point you will be able to access your crypto. And you can always put it on a hard drive in cold storage, and then you can take a boat to, you know, another country where there's an exchange, and you can get your money that way. But that's the beauty of blockchain. It's global, and there's the distributed ledger is permanent, right? It's not on one computer that can just get wiped out. It's on multiple computers all around the world. And so as long as there's a record of you on the blockchain having, you know, X amount of Bitcoin, you should be able to recover it.
Okay. And also, too, you would have hard copy records, and your 100% insurance of these amounts would not alter just because the internet's down, correct?
Well, it depends if your exchange, you know, what insurance your exchange has. So if you have it with an exchange, if you don't have it with an exchange and it's private, it's not going to be insured. But as long as there's a record of you having it, you have your password, that long password you were talking about, you should be able to recover it. But that's why I think it's a good idea to go, like, that's why I personally feel more comfortable putting my crypto in a company like My Digital Money, because there is insurance and I don't have to worry about losing my password. And if I do lose my password, I can call somebody, right? And that's one of the main differences between our company and other companies, that you can actually get someone on the phone, a human that will talk to you and, you know, be able to answer your questions.
See, that's fascinating. Well, let me ask you this. Why is the Department of Labor so dead set against cryptos being used for 401ks?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speculate to their underlying motivations, but what they are saying is that they want to warn investors. They want to protect investors, and there's a few warnings that they gave, which some are valid. So one of them was valuation concerns, where they said that essentially financial experts have disagreements about how to value cryptocurrencies, and there's not a standard of how to price crypto. And, you know, you have a lot of these rug pulls, if you've heard that term, where, you know, new cryptos come out and they're priced arbitrarily by the founders, and the founders sell their coins, and then you know, they liquidate and then essentially disappear. So, you know, they want to protect consumers against that. And also there's another reason they gave, another warning, was there's obstacles to making informed decisions, meaning that it's hard to separate the hype from fact a lot of times. And the hype really kind of affects the price in this space. And because, you know, your employer is providing this, it might give people the wrong idea of the risk, right? They might think that the risk is lower than it is because, you know, you have this, you know, fiduciary that's including it and as an option, right? Including crypto as an option in a 401k plan. So it's, and then also prices change dramatically, right? And so they're giving that warning that, hey, don't think that it's all rosy. You can lose as much as you can gain. These are the common warnings that we give our investors as well, right? Like, keep in mind, this is volatile. Only invest what you can risk to lose.
Yes.
And so they're trying to give the same warnings, and basically saying that don't think it's not risky just because it's in a 401k. And there's an evolving regulatory landscape. That's another warning that they gave, which is true. There is, you know, the regulatory space will continue to evolve and affect the price as different regulations come out.
Okay, but that's that's part of the landscape. That doesn't scare me.
Yeah.
What bothers me is they don't want people to do crypto, which is much more secure, in favor of their fiat currency, which is not secure.
Right.
Am I missing something?
Yeah. No, they probably have their underlying reasons for doing this, but I mean, it is, let's get real though, it is volatile, right? Crypto is volatile. You have to be aware that you can lose a lot of your money, so you got to be careful and diversify with other assets and within crypto, buy different cryptos as well, right? So it's not going to be as safe as, you know, fiat or something else, but at the same time, you have the ability to keep up with the inflation rate.
Well, that was the, okay, see, exactly. You just stole my thunder on my next question, because, see, the duplicitous side of what the Department of Labor is doing, if you look at CPI from 1982 and how they measured things, and not the adaptation changes they made to make government look better, the real inflation rate right now is around 16%. It could even be higher. And this is from economists I know and trust, and even politicians are talking about this now. So that means that let's say that you have $100,000 in the bank, okay, we won't factor in the 0.5% interest they pay you, and that means at the end of that year, if the inflation rate stays steady, then you have lost $16,000. Okay? Crypto, you know, Department of Labor seems to be forgetting about that. That's what I mean by a volatile fiat currency. It's volatile because of the banks. And then they turn around and you put a dollar into the bank and they can loan out many times that on fractional reserve banking. I mean, they're making major bank on everything while we're taking all the risk. And that's why I look at crypto. So let me just pin you down here. How is crypto a hedge against inflation?
Well, I'd say that in my definition, when I say it's a hedge against inflation, I mean more long-term. I don't mean that, you know, if you want to spend money in the short term, you know, as soon as inflation goes up, you know, your Bitcoin is going to go up. You know, it's going to be exactly correlated with it, because it's proven not to be exactly correlated. But in the long run, you're going to have, in my opinion, you know, much bigger returns than any other asset, and you can actually keep up with the inflation rate. And so when you go to retire, you actually will be able to live the lifestyle you want. You're much, much more likely to do that if you have a diversified portfolio that includes crypto. Because yeah, the gains there are going to be able to keep up with inflation. I mean, like you said, the inflation rate, the way it's calculated now, it's manipulated, right? Because now they take into account technical innovation, right? And they can mess with the numbers and say that, oh, this costs a lot more to develop, so we need to, you know, account for that in the price. And they can, there's a lot of subjectivity there, where they can come up with a lower number. The lowest number they were able to come up with is still super high, right? just under 8%. But it's much higher than that. We all know that.
Well, I think there's something else they're not telling you, too, but I'm coming at you from a layman's perspective, so feel free to correct me. The Department of Labor doesn't like 401ks and crypto to be meshed, but if your bank or your sponsoring business that started that 401k to begin with and you don't do a conversion to crypto, don't you lose the whole thing? And isn't that different than what happens with crypto in tough economic times?
I'm sorry, I lost you though. Can you say that?
Oh, okay. So the Department of Labor doesn't want crypto to be involved with 401ks. Okay, but 401ks are volatile and subject to the financial health of the sponsoring agency, whether it's a bank or a business. If they go under, people could lose their crypto. I mean, excuse me, their 401k. And does crypto protect you against that kind of volatility?
So you still have a volatile price, right? So it's not as much, you know, you're at risk of the system going down or a certain organization mismanaging, but, you are subject to the price, volatility.
Sure.
Right, but you're more in control, right? You're more in control of it. You know, you can choose how you diversify, how you buy your crypto, and you can liquidate when you want to. There's still risk, right? Of course, we always tell people that. But you know, the other thing is you have IRAs still, right? So don't forget that. You know, IRAs. This warning was for 401k, but you still have an IRA, self-directed IRA, where you can. These warnings aren't coming out there because you're kind of more in control. It's governed by you. And so, you know, you still can get the same kind of benefits as with a 401k. And so, yeah, don't forget about that. But, yeah, that's my two cents.
Okay, no, that really helps clear that up, and I appreciate that. Because I like to look at the motivation here. So we're in an unstable period. And I think we both agree on that. So what crypto would you invest in, given the volatile nature of our economy right now?
Yeah, so I mainly like to invest in crypto that I think have strong fundamentals and have a long-term future, something that solves a unique problem and has very strong technology behind it. And I believe in long-term, because there's always going to be this volatility in the middle, right? Especially with geopolitical crises and, you know, the Fed tightening their monetary policy. And there's always going to be, you know, these short-term fluctuations. But if you have a strong technology, strong fundamentals, long-term, you know, the coin is going to go up over time. So that's what I look at. And Bitcoin and Ethereum, you know, I always have in my portfolio because those have been around the longest and have very strong fundamentals and strong technology. Ethereum is essentially the foundation of a lot of decentralized applications, right? NFTs and a lot of decentralized financial applications. It's kind of the most widely adopted smart contracts platform, right? And so I always like to have Ethereum. It's probably my biggest investment. You know, and Bitcoin, and then there's other kind of technologies that people might not know about, like Chainlink. So Chainlink is basically provides you with off-chain data. So if you have a smart contract and you need data from the outside, you know, for like you need someone's credit score, or you know, you just need information to be able to execute a smart contract, then Chainlink provides that for you in a decentralized way. Not to get too technical, but it's an important problem to solve to actually make smart contracts smart enough to replace traditional financial instruments, right? Because in order to replace what the banks are doing, you need to have data from outside, right? And so Chainlink is important in that way, in that it would enable us to have this more modern financial system. Right, get rid of kind of this fractional reserve system we were talking about. Polkadot is another one, because that one connects different blockchains together, allows them to all talk to each other. All right, so that's another obstacle to getting to this mainstream adoption, right, is that a lot of these different blockchains, they can't talk to each other. So Polkadot solves that. So I like to look at those kind of technologies because from a long-term perspective, they have a lot of promise.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense, too. When people call My Digital Money, what about the reps there? Because I worry, a lot of times I think the company can be good, but if the reps don't portray the right message like we're getting from you right now, things can go awry pretty quickly. So what kind of steps do you take with your staff to make sure they're putting out the most current and good information?
Yeah, so we meet every week, and we talk about current events and our philosophy of putting the customer first, and being completely objective and transparent, and you know, making sure that people still are aware of the risks, right? And then we just give them as much information as possible about, you know, the different coins and, you know, the different strategies and, you know, the basics too, like when people don't know the basics, to educate them over the phone and also just send them information as well. And so, we just have a whole philosophy and best practices that we all align on. So, everyone adheres to our kind of mission and our values. So we just drill that in. We have calls every week, and we're just highly collaborative.
Okay.
That's the main way that we make sure that we have one voice and that the customer is first.
Have you ever thought about setting up like a sandbox where people don't know a lot can come in and play with it without putting their money in first?
Yeah, so we do have a plain money account. So
oh, okay.
You can come in and get $50,000 of fake money, and you can trade in the real market. So you don't need a credit card or anything. You just put in your email, you sign up, and you just start trading. And you can get a feel for our platform and for how it is to trade crypto. So that's one of the things that we do, right, to make people feel comfortable. We give them information. We give them, access to our platform, access to our people. A lot of the content we have online comes from myself and my co-founder and some of the other people in the company. We want to reduce that friction, reduce that uncertainty for people as much as possible. We know it's a scary field, right? And so that's one of the reasons why we started My Digital Money, is just to, give people comfort, the average person that might not know a lot about crypto, to kind of, make it easier, as easy as possible.
Well, that's, it's like music to my ears. I mean, it's kind of like you get training wheels put on while you're learning about this. So let's say that events are happening on the other side of the world. I have to ask this. Typically with your crypto groups like My Digital Money, what kind of hours do they maintain? Is it a 24/7 service?
Right. So we have core business hours, which is from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific, where we have our core customer support team that's the most knowledgeable. And then after those hours, we have a service that picks up and helps with trivial issues. And if it's something that is a high priority, they can forward it to our core team as a priority to handle off hours. So it's kind of like a second, it's like a first tier service, but the second tier, which is the people that have a lot more knowledge, they're available only in certain time frame right now, but we do want to expand those hours.
Okay, well that,
we do have plans to do that.
No, that's good though. I'm glad to hear that you do that here. And
our core support team is US based, right? That's one of our core values, so that's part of why we're that core team is working from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. We will expand that at some point.
That's really a good service. In the stock market, I see a lot of things like there's tolerance limits put in, like when crypto reaches a low of so-and-so, you sell, or if it reaches a high of something, you buy. Is there anything equivalent to that in cryptocurrency?
Yeah, in fact, we have what we call trigger orders. So you can set a price to sell or buy. So if you're sleeping and you want to take advantage of a dip, these dips happen sometimes just for minutes, right? And that's the beautiful thing about crypto is, you can trade 24/7, right? And so you can say when Bitcoin goes down to 30,000, I want to buy one Bitcoin. And you wake up in the morning and you realize there was a dip, momentary dip, and you actually were able to buy and take advantage of that. So, yeah, we have that in our platform. And there are other companies that have it as well. A lot of companies have it as part of their premium feature. We offer it for free as part of the normal service.
Well, I know a lot of the crypto places that when you lose your password or you need to ask a question in the middle of the night or you want to put something in taxes to have a consideration for withdrawal, that they charge an arm and a leg. I shouldn't say an arm and a leg. They charge a fee.
Yeah.
Okay, a healthy fee. Okay, I want to be fair about this.
Right.
What's your position on that with My Digital Money? when people call in to your center?
Yeah, so I mean, we only charge transaction fees now. We used to have monthly fees for our IRA accounts, but we took that away. So there's no fee for that. So, you know, you can get the customer service and you're not paying for it. You just pay when you transact. Right. So yeah, I think that customer service should just be built in. I think, that's one of our core values, is just providing the most personalized customer service, we can. And I don't think people should pay for it.
Wow. That's amazing, because there's a lot of nickel and diming in the industry, I'm aware of, just like the banks. You know, a lot of nickel and diming. So it sounds like you guys avoid that. That's really good. One other thing I want to ask you about trends. A lot of people tell me, well, I like to get into crypto and I make a lot of money and then I buy gold. Is that a common thing, or am I just talking to the exception to the rule?
I haven't heard that a lot. I know people usually want to diversify, so they'll buy gold and they'll buy crypto. I haven't seen, at least on our, you know, like as part of our customer base, that someone makes a huge amount of money in crypto and then liquidates to go buy gold. They might liquidate some because they want to keep a certain proportion of their wealth in gold, which we're totally for that. But yeah, usually when you make such huge gains, you know you're not going to make that in gold, so it's, you're kind of addicted. You're kind of like, okay, I want to keep doing that. So let me put, you know, at least a big chunk of what I gained back into crypto, and continue on that path, right, to building wealth.
Yeah, it's one. Yeah, I like that, because you're not just playing one step ahead of the burning bridge. I like that a lot. Here, let me go back to my list, because I had to prep for this interview pretty strongly, because crypto is something I know a little bit about, but there's a lot, you can tell from the way I ask the questions, there's a lot I'm learning. If you were to look at crypto, let's say a year from now and 5 years from now, and I know the market's volatile, but what would you say the trend curve is going to be over the next several years?
Yeah, I mean, I think, obviously, my opinion is we're going to trend upwards. So obviously, I wouldn't be in this business if I didn't think that. And I think that as the regulatory environment catches up, you'll see a lot more institutions come in, institutional money. The market will just, you know, explode in terms of market cap. And then it will start becoming more and more mature. Even though it'll still be volatile, it won't be as volatile. And, you know, it'll just become more mainstream. You'll have a lot more decentralized financial applications, and a lot more, you know, common investors will be in the game. And so, yeah, I think it's going to continue to happen. Right now, we're at a critical point where, you know, the regulatory environment is just starting out. And then there's all these, you know, all this Fed tightening is definitely kind of stalling the price. But I think after the Fed meeting, I think it's happening today, actually. After the Fed meeting, you know, the price might get affected downwards a little bit, but I think we'll start trending upwards. It's going to be kind of a crazy year, but, you know, in next year and after, I really think we're going to start growing at a crazy pace.
Well, I would think it would start building momentum on its own too.
And yeah, I think that.
You know, like as the dollar dies, crypto will rise. That would be my feeling. You mentioned Bitcoin and Ethereum. Are they the two best to invest in?
They're the safest, relatively, in my opinion. None of this is financial advice. I always have to say that. Sorry.
I understand. I get it.
We don't give advice. We just provide a platform for people to invest. But yeah, I think those are the ones that, you know, been around the longest, have the biggest market cap, have very strong fundamentals. And even though it's volatile, it's relative to other cryptocurrencies. If you want to start smaller, You want to start a little less risky. You probably want to buy the majority of your crypto in Ethereum and Bitcoin, and then start buying altcoins, you know, the kind of the newer ones. You know, maybe 10 to 20% of your portfolio you can have in those, so you can take advantage of the bigger gains. But yeah, I'd say that Ethereum and Bitcoin are kind of the two biggest and most popular ones.
Okay, so for the people that say, okay, I want to find out more and I want to get a hold of my digital money, I know that you have a website, mydigitalmoney.com, and you can link to that. But walk me through the process of people wanting to come in and being part of what you do.
Yeah, so you just go to mydigitalmoney.com, and then you can explore, you know, different videos that we have. We have a YouTube channel, and you can, you know, watch videos about the fundamentals and what we do. You can subscribe, or not subscribe, but download our guide. We have a crypto guide that talks about how to get started, you know, and so that's a really good starting point. And you can also sign up for an account. There's an open an account button. But you can also just get a play money account to start, you know, smaller without actually investing your money. You still go to open an account and you put in your email and name, and then it tells you it has you select what kind of account you want. You can select an IRA account, a regular cash account, or you can select a play money account. So once you click on the play money account, it takes you to the dashboard right away. And you can choose, you know, any cryptocurrency that's there to buy and sell, and you can, you know, give it a try. So I'd say the guide and the play money account are two great ways to get started with us. Just check out the website too. And then if there are any questions, you know, you just call our line, right? From 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific, you know, you'll get someone picking up your call. So, you know, you can call us. The number is 833-636-2008.
Let me get that again. 833-636-2008. Okay, because people are probably writing this down too, and I'll have it here to give out right at the very end. What's the turnaround time? So let's say I call you and you're the friendly representative for My Digital Money. How soon will I realize my own account?
Oh, yeah. So the sign-up process could take about 5 minutes. You know, maybe it could be longer depending on the person, but you can always have us walk you through the process on the phone. But on average, it takes about 5 minutes to sign up. Sometimes you might, if you're doing a transfer from another IRA or like if you're doing an IRA account, and you want to roll over from 401k, sometimes you have to go and dig out your account number. So that's the only thing that can, you know, take you a little bit longer, but the number of screens and all that is very, little, and you can get through it in 5 minutes.
Wow.
And then after that, it usually takes about a day to get approved. A lot of times it happens right away, but we go through, you know, a KYC process that we have to go through. And if there's anything that comes back where we need more information, it might take a little bit longer. But on average, it takes a few hours, you know, let's say up to a day to get approved. And then you have to fund your account. So, you know, depending on the funding method, if it's a transfer, it could take a week. But if it's just, you know, you're wiring money or a check or doing an ACH, you know, it's much faster.
Now you're making it too easy, because I know I've bought gold before and it's taken me a couple of weeks to get the coins and get everything done, and this is more instantaneous, but it's digital too, so that makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, you don't have to have anything physical being sent to you. But yeah, there are some custodians that make it harder to get your money out, so like, you know, they might want to send a check and then it has to go through the mail system. So there are cases where things get delayed. You know, custodians don't make it easy sometimes for you to take money out because they want to keep your money as long as they can. But for the most part, a lot of them are pretty quick. They have the automatic transfer system, the ACAT system. And if they support that, then it's pretty quick.
Wow. This is almost too easy. Let me give out the number again here because I know I'm going to get emails if I don't. If you want to know more, you can go to mydigitalmoney.com, the website, and follow the directions there, or you can call for quicker service to 833-636-2008. Well, Guy, we're out of time, but I appreciate you walking us through because we kind of did a tutorial here, and I'm sure my audience found this to be very, very helpful and informative. So thanks for joining us here on the Common Sense Show.
Thanks for having me. Great talking to you.
Hey, take care.